Hi, it's Janine Bosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have with me Beth Dovey, and Beth is a stress recovery specialist, and she coaches professionals away from stress, emotional reactivity, and feeling like they always have to have. I'll repeat that feeling, because that's how you feel, isn't it? Feeling like they always have to have it together. Yes. Allowing them to step into their authenticity and aliveness and alignment with what is really important to them so that they live a life with no regrets. And that's such an important factor. And Beth combines the goal from 15 years of medical science with metadynamics, positive psychology, coaching methodologies, along with her life experiences. And Beth left a 15-year domestic violent marriage in 2014. And during that time, she had three children, two businesses, and worked nights as a medical scientist. I'm exhausted just reading that at all. At this point, she was a shell of a person surviving and burnt out. And through her fascination with human behavior, she's now rebuilt her life and birthed her business, Alignment Coaching Services, which she has designed around the values of what lights her up, enabling her to experience the joys that life has to offer. Welcome, Beth. I mean, that's really, there's a lot in there. There's a lot we're going to chat about. But it is
yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, Janine.
You're welcome. It's great having you on today.
Amazing to be here.
I love that. You know, that to have the power within yourself to eventually step away from a violent relationship, that must have taken an awful lot for you to do that.
Yeah, it did. It was a long time coming. So it was a like 14, 15 year relationship. But I know I'm one person, once I've made that, when I have made the decision to do something, or that it's not right for me, I usually stick to that decision really, really well. So, yeah, it took a lot, but it was me taking my power back through health that allowed me to actually take that step. And because often I find it's either finances or health that women start taking, well, that they get their power back through. So.
Okay, so how do you mean getting power back through health?
So I started over the course of the relationship, I'd put on a lot of weight, and I had just always let go of my health and fitness things. Prior to the relationship, I was really, really active. You know, there were times where I'd be training twice a day and playing lots of different sports, and that was just part of my life. But when I started dating, that part of my life, that fun part, started getting let go of, and then my responsibilities just kept going up and up and up, and I didn't have time for any of that self-care, health and fitness activities that I once did and that I loved. So when I finally made the decision, like, I've had enough of being the way I was, feeling the way I was, and I started going to the gym, and found a way to make that happen, so I could actually, you know, sometimes it meant going to the gym at 4:30 in the morning, but then my husband complained about, oh, well, the kids would wake up while I'm gone and it would wake him up. So then I changed it till 9 o'clock at night after I closed one of our businesses, and then that became a problem. So it through me just choosing to look after my health, it made a lot of the behaviors and the patterns within the relationship even more obvious, because I was losing weight. I was starting to look pretty hot, and he was benefiting from that, yet he was still whinging like crazy about me trying to look after my weight. So, and look after my health. So that was just that point of, okay, what is going on here? That doesn't make sense.
Had you not noticed it before?
Not really. Like, I knew it was a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. I knew I was unhappy. But I just wanted to keep trying to make things work. And so my
that happens a lot, doesn't it? If I do this, then this will work better. If I do this, this will work better. And I'm sure there's a lot of women that think exactly like that. I just need to fix that, and then this will all be good.
Yeah, that's right. And we, because we can so often take on so much responsibility, that often it can end up being the wrong responsibility. You know, think some of the things, it's like, well, actually that's for your partner to step up to and look after. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept taking on the responsibility while he sat on the couch. When he'd do a little bit of work, sat on the couch and watch TV as a king and want everything served to him. Mm-hmm. All those things. And I was aware, you know, that's what his mum and dad did, and that was the dynamic in their household. But it wasn't until there was a conversation, because he gave me an ultimatum for the gym. You either go to the gym and continue working with your personal trainer, because I got accused of having an affair with my female personal trainer, which didn't happen. So I had to choose between working with a personal trainer or the marriage. And so I chose marriage, but nothing helped. And it was, we were having a discussion about why would you want to leave, or a heated discussion. He was, why would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave everything we've built? And I was on the floor crying, sobbing. I was unable to actually articulate why I wanted to leave. And then he just kept talking, the way he did. And then I was able to turn around and say, that, the way you just spoke to me then, I never want to be spoken to like that again. And he turned around and said, you never told that to me before. I'm like, oh, the penny dropped. Okay, I've never told that to you before. But then it was also, I didn't think I should have to tell my husband to talk to me kindly. And so it was that values clash of my standard of kindness is different to what his was. And if I had to tell him.
Communication as well, isn't it? You know, that expectation. Yeah. And you'd be seeing this with what you do. People come in with different values. And if they can't communicate those values and they're not allowed to or respected enough to be able to feel like they can communicate those values, then that means that it really makes it hard for that relationship to succeed.
Yeah, that's right. And never have any conflict resolution, or because every relationship is going to have conflict at some point in time. Mm. But it's how you handle the relationship. And I remember one lady in my wedding card, actually, and this saying had stayed in my mind. It's how you handle the strength of a relationship is not how you are in the good times. It's how you move through the bad times.
Mm.
And bad times, I was just always sweeping stuff under the carpet. I was never actually, nothing was ever getting resolved. It would only get resolved because I've submitted. So
yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, and not just necessarily women, but in relationships, there's a lot of people that have to do that, to think that they're going to, as you said, sweep it under the carpet, it'll smooth it over, this will be okay. And it's only okay until the next time it's not okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So how's that now, you know, with what you do? Just explain a little bit more about what you do, and then how you've taken those experiences into helping people.
Yeah. So I do a couple of different things, but one of my biggest passions is being able to help people work out what it is they really want in life, in their relationships and business, and bring that together. So I call myself a stress recovery specialist or stress management specialist, because I also bring in the science side of things to be able to help make sure we've got whole holistic healing going on with the body, and the coaching, this mind work, and that some of the energy work as well. So it's helping people to move away from whatever's causing conflict in their life and being able to resolve that so they can live a life that they really want, live a life that is doing something that they love and reconnect with those things that they once loved. Because often when we're busy, and particularly if we've got our own businesses, we let stuff go. The stuff and that stuff, it's the stuff that lights us up. And so we need to be able to stay connected to that to keep our fire burning inside.
That is so important, isn't it? And so important. I was presenting at a leadership summit a couple of years ago, and I was doing a breakout, and I was going to target, I think the regular listeners may have heard the story before, but I was going to target, it was about having balance in your life from these executive leaders. And yeah. I was going to start with something, but I'd listened to people through the lunch break, and I shifted what I was going to say. So my first thing was, what do you do for yourself? Write down what you do for yourself. And yeah. I just had blank stares. There was one woman who, people were talking about exercise and going to the gym, and I said, well, that's for your health. That's great you do it, but that's not necessarily something that brings you joy. It's something that you feel obligated probably to do rather than something that brings you joy. What do you bring joy? There was one woman that the joy was, the cycling was the exercise. It was a joy that she did and did a lot of cycling. That was it. Out of a group of women executive leaders, 30 on, that was it. Wow. There was one person.
Yeah,
and it just went, oh my goodness me, this how we allow to lose that joy. And then, you know, what age do we get to when we go, well, okay, what have I got left in life? What is there that brings me joy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the same thing happens when a lot of people retire and they go, okay, I've got nothing now. Yeah. And that means that they've got nothing to give them that sense of who they are and that sense of purpose, but also something that brings a smile to their face. So I can imagine how valuable it is for you, what you do, to be helping people do it. How do you get them to find that joy?
A lot of it is reconnecting with childhood. So I do a lot of inner child work, and so that's through connecting with our needs, understanding our needs more, understanding the types of personalities that we actually are. So I use a bit of DISC as well, and being able to also understand a lot of our own emotions is really important, because that helps you understand your boundaries. When we're tuned into like our triggers, what triggers us, and notice that, oh, I've got a bit of emotional reactivity going on. When we can tune into that, we can actually understand what our values and what our boundaries are much better to be able to then respond in an appropriate manner. And so even just if I'm working with, I do a lot of domestic violence work through the police referrals as well. And so if I'm working with a couple there, getting them to tune in and go, oh, okay, well, your partner's not helping out with this when you actually want to go and be able to have a break, or you're feeling like you don't get to have a break the whole time. And so then the wife may get extra frustrated and it blows into this massive argument. When we can listen to those triggers, you can then understand what's going on for you and what's important to you. And that's going to help you connect with what's important to you and what you actually enjoy. And sometimes it will also be just something as simple as, what did you once like doing when you were a kid as well? So whether it's bringing back that playfulness, whether it be some of the examples from my journey was definitely going to the beach. And that was because I had been through trauma, and when we go through trauma, we dissociate from ourselves, so we stop living in our body. There's a bit of a mind-body disconnect going on, and so our senses aren't as active.
Right.
And so when we go, so part of going to the beach for me was bringing back that somatic feeling and the sensory work. and feeling the sand in my between my toes, diving into a big wave with all the whitewash and feeling the bubbles over my skin. And then asking yourself, well, do I like this? Is this an experience that I actually like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going through all the different experiences, like going playing in the rain with the kids, jumping on the trampoline, jumping in puddles, getting your feet in mud. Well, I one thing I do love is doing like Tough Mudder courses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I do it with my kids now as well. And it's just, I like crawling through mud. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's that sensory thing, isn't it? It's really interesting because that then would trigger the everything, the physical body, the emotional body, and spiritual body as well.
That's right.
When you're being bombarded with different sensory aspects. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of my childhood things that I love, but. I love water. I love being in water. It's necessary. And it's made me think about that. And we've got this recorded in summer here in Brisbane. Yes. And when we get off, I think I'm going to have a swim. That will
excellent. It's a beautiful day for a swim today. The rain stopped.
It is awesome. Yeah. It's important because rather than sitting here doing work, which I could absolutely do and find plenty to do. Just take that half an hour and go and do that and do the things that you enjoy. And that's the thing, isn't it? We don't allow ourselves to take that time. There's always something to do and we're always we're not, and I love this, I've heard this many times, is we're not human beings, we're human doings instead. And we just miss out on an opportunity to be being.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's what you do with what you do is allow people just to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's definitely, that is a focus of I want people to be able to just be. And even if it's, you know, if they're entering the dating world and after divorce and all that type of thing, and helping them to be able to just be with themselves, fall in love with themselves, so then they can go and be with another person, like beingness. Is what I call it. It is a big part of that.
Yeah. And then that's the thing is, if you can't love yourself, then it's really hard for other people to love you then, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you're finding fault with you, then you'll find fault with others and nothing will ever be good enough for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get that. I love you talking about, playing a childhood play. I've just finished watching Old People's Home for 4-year-olds on Netflix.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. I think it must have been done about 2018-19. Mm-hmm. And they brought in, it was 11 seniors in a very large retirement village, but they had 11 of them. And they measured their physical fitness and their emotional well-being, and all but one rated fairly high on the depressed level. They're all in the depressed level, but one wasn't as high as the others. And then they brought in 10 4-year-olds who for 7 weeks they would have their kindy in with the adults, and they would take the adults out for walks, and they would take their adults, as they called them, that would play the games and dress up, and finally they had a bit of a sports day and a concert. And these people on walkers who were terrified to step out, and some of them, and they took them to the beach, and others hadn't been to the beach for 20 years, and the depression levels on every one of them drop significantly into the normal range bar one, and that person had to have an operation in the middle and missed a month of it, but every other person, their depression levels dropped into the normal range, and their fitness went up, their strength went up, and they checked on a month later and they were still continuing these activities even when and they were still being visited by the 4-year-olds, or even went to the 4-year-olds place.
Beautiful.
But it was oh my gosh, it was tears. But it was that exactly what you're saying. They were allowing themselves to go back to childhood, and the kids had little baby ducklings that cracked open, the eggs crack open, and just even watching these older adults with these baby ducklings and It was wonderful. So I'm get a chance to watch it, then definitely do that. But that's exactly what you're talking about, is that allowing yourself to be that, bring out that inner child. And
reconnect with the playfulness, because it makes life so much better. And like, even one of the big things at the beginning of my journey as well, in the healing from divorce and everything, was I would crank the music up and I'd dance in the lounge room with the kids. And, you know, I went from the busy, stern mum, which was exhausted the whole time, to this mum who was actually dancing with the kids, and we'd be driving along, boogieing in the car and just laughing and smiling. I started getting smile wrinkles after I left the marriage.
Wow. So, okay. It's
like I didn't have them before that at all.
Yeah.
So, it just makes life so much deeper, and your relationships, when you feel safe enough within a relationship to be playful with them,
mm-hmm.
it's because there's a vulnerability that comes with that. Mm-hmm. It deepens the relationship, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and the relationship with yourself you're talking about, isn't it? That's definitely amazing. And that sense of loving self, then it's a compassion to self, so then I'm assuming then you bring compassion to others. Is that part of the process?
Yeah, definitely. So it is, part of, to be able to bring compassion to others, we have to also bring compassion to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really unpack it, if you cannot bring compassion to yourself, there's going to be a level of judgment still coming out somewhere in your life. And so, and that is one big thing that I know a lot of my women clients do have issues with. It's like, okay, how can we bring compassion to yourself this week? And how can you actually think what's going on, what you're experiencing is okay? And that actually encourage yourself or tap yourself, pat yourself on the back for what you're actually doing. And what you're going through. So
so how do we bring that compassion to ourselves?
So it's, at first we need to do it quite consciously, definitely. And so it's tuning into how you're thinking and tuning into that language, that chatter you've got going on in your mind. Because, and one question I like to just kind of get them to say, would you say what you're saying to yourself, would you say this to your best friend?
Yeah.
Chances are it's going to be a no.
Not at all. Yeah.
So we need to tune into those thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, changing things like beliefs around mistakes. And one of my core beliefs that I had to really work at changing is mistakes are an opportunity for improvement. And so and this actually goes back to reconnecting with a child or ourselves as a child. A baby learning to walk doesn't beat themselves up because they keep falling over.
Mm.
They just get up and keep going and readjust and recalibrate their body and try and get that balance.
Yeah.
But us as adults, if we make a mistake, we beat ourselves up. Mm. We say, you're not doing a good enough job. Would we ever say that to a baby?
No.
You're not doing a good enough job because you can't walk yet? No, we wouldn't.
And as you said, you wouldn't say that to your best friend either. You'd be encouraging, wouldn't you?
Yes. And so you really need to tune into that and be encouraging to yourself. And often, you know, even if you've got some big emotions coming up, accepting them and saying, you know, that's okay. And just thanking that thought that came up. Thank you for being there. That, you know, I appreciate you being there. I'm going to let you go now. Mm-hmm. And just letting that thought go. So then reconnect with what's the purpose of what you're trying to achieve. And what are you actually doing? Are you just trying to because everyone's driven by different things. And so are you trying to actually connect here with people? Are you trying to grow as a person? Are you trying to better yourself? So, well, often we need to make mistakes to be able to better ourselves, because we learn from those mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just finished listening to a book called You're a Girl of My Own Kind by Claire Bobbitt. And she went through a breakdown. It was a severe mental breakdown, and she learned a whole lot of skills, but she named that voice and called it Frank. And so every time Frank would come forward, she would go, it was FOF. I call Frank.
Yeah, cool.
And so that's, and then she ended up more to what you're saying now, eventually, you know, years later, it's going, oh, okay, Frank. And Frank needed to be there sometimes to save her from something.
Yeah.
But most of the time when she was going through the main healing part was that FOF. And it was just going, no, go away.
Go away. You don't need to be here right now.
No. And then that was one of the biggest things that she realized, is it was just a voice. Mm. And then it was, It was so powerful for her. So that's sort of what you're saying, is just hearing that voice, isn't it?
You need to tune in to it and create the awareness first that, I've just abused the hell out of myself.
It's a belittling of self. So that, and I imagine that's a bit of a cycle, obviously, that people can get into. So you've said sort of identifying it, but is there anything else that people can do to break that cycle?
When it comes to the compassion, there needs to be a choice. Like, you need to have that will and desire to want to change it. And so that comes with building your self-esteem. That comes with being able to feel better about yourself. And so creating the awareness around what your needs are, what your boundaries are, and also the emotions. So falling in love with our emotions is a huge piece of loving and accepting ourselves.
Okay, falling in love with your emotions. That's an interesting concept, because there's all different types of emotions, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So even when you're going, I'm just going to have a major tantrum here. So going, well, I like that part of me, or the emotion of sadness or fear, that would be a hard one to fall in love with.
So, I see what you're saying, but it's looking at the emotions, I think, with a bigger picture, because our emotions are part of our human experience. And so it may be hurting you right now, but you're having this human experience. And often when you're hurt, it tells you that you loved and you cared. If you're scared, it tells you that maybe you need some help. Maybe you need some kind of support, or that it's telling you need to do something else to be able to help you feel safe again. And so all of our emotions are beautiful and valid and important to listen to. So we can then live a life that is, like, respond to our emotions and not belittle them. And so then we can respond and then adapt our behaviour to do what we love and what's more in line with our true centred self.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine, you know, there's an awful lot of really horrible stuff going on at the moment where people are, feeling that they've got no choice in what's happening to them around Australia and around the world. So I imagine you're seeing, as a stress recovery specialist, seeing people who are in extreme stress as to what their future looks like. It's not necessarily it is out of a relationship, usually a relationship with a career, and how that stress looks to them. That would be
It's horrible. Huge. Yeah. And so I have worked with a few clients who have felt like they had no choice and they had to go get the vaccination when they didn't want to. And so that has brought up a lot of like the same feelings that they actually experienced when they were raped. And right. Because it's the actual emotions, yes, it's different scenarios, but it's a complete boundaries violation. If you're doing something you don't want to do, it's a violation of your boundaries. And so that can bring with it the despair, that can come with it just the powerlessness and there may be some shame for submitting to it as well that could come with that.
Yeah.
And all of these emotions that I'm describing are the emotions people who commit suicide are experiencing.
Yeah.
Despair, shame, and powerlessness.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, a big issue, and I think we're going to see a lot more.
Yeah, and your analogy then to, so as you said, it's brought up incidents of memories of rape. Yeah. And I've heard that analogy before, and I just hadn't realised why it's similar to that. It's not just the attack on the body, but it's that sense of shame because you haven't been able to stand up for yourself.
The shame and the I have no choice. I'm having to choose between my highly successful business or just getting this vaccination. But this is not my choice.
Because
my whole livelihood is connected to this.
Yeah, and it's not, we're talking pro or anti here. It's just that sense of choice and that violation of the body if you if you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And a lot of people haven't had a choice. That's hit me in the heart. It's intense.
I'm seeing people who are struggling, because I've seen people who had been thriving before they got it, and then because of the duress that they were feeling having to get it because their livelihood was at risk, they have just plummeted and ended up going back on drugs and just major mental health issues coming back that they had just spent the last year or so totally bringing themselves up.
Wow.
And it's because of that emotional experience.
It's quite intense, and I think we'll see a lot more of it, unfortunately. Just sort of switching topics, and that metadynamics. What is that exactly?
So metadynamics is a study of the brain. So it's a term coined by Sharon Pearson, and it comes from a lot. So there's some similar techniques to NLP. Okay. So a lot of the NLP neuro-linguistic programming principles are a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding how our brain actually categorizes information. It's understanding how, because we have compartments where we file things away, and when we can shift them and move them, like grasp hold of them and move them, we can get major transformation. But it's also, there is in emotional intelligence work that is integrated within that. And so it's combining of the emotional intelligence, the NLP principles, and tying them together to just get this really well-rounded approach to coaching methodologies.
All right. I must do a little bit more study on that, because, and I know that sort of, does that go into an emotional intelligence as well? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking that most of the people who listen to this podcast would have a good idea about what emotional intelligence is, mm-hmm. but what's your definition of it?
So my definition, I talk about emotional intelligence and emotional intimacy. So when we are able to have emotional intelligence, it means that we're able to have this emotional intimacy within ourselves, where we are so in tuned with what's actually going on within us, so the energies that we have and all of our emotions are energies, because all emotions have actually been energetically measured now as scientifically as frequencies, and it comes from the word emotare, the Latin word emotare, which means energy in motion. And so when we're able to tune into these energies that come and are meant to come and go within us, we're then able to make sure we are letting them go, to be able to engage our complex reasoning within our brain, to be able to make better decisions, to be able to have that clarity of thought. So we're not, not making that irrational decision because our emotion center is firing.
Right.
Because when our emotion center of our brain is firing, the complex reasoning part is disconnected.
No, I get that. Yeah. And I think sometimes we do, and we're making those decisions when we're in this emotional state, and then we go, oh, that wasn't yeah. The best decision at the time, but yes, felt like it when it was. It's a bit like putting out a post after a bottle of wine or something like that. It's not a good decision at the time.
Not a good decision at the time.
Three takeaways for the people that are listening. Beth, what do you want people to leave? And we've covered a range of things, but what three things in particular do you want people to think about and as they finish listening to the podcast?
Yeah, I want people to really tune in with how are they doing things or having that self-care time for them where they're doing something that they love.
Mm-hmm.
And making that, changing that to be a priority of their life. So it is placing the importance on that is really, really important to keep that joy in your life. And if you need to include the kids into it, but keeping joy in your life is really, really important. The second thing would be creating that somatic sensory awareness with yourself. So that's, if you're right at the beginning of that journey, it's about aliving your senses again. Because when we do that, that's when we actually are able to tune into the emotions that we're experiencing, the energies that we're experiencing. So then we can listen to them and learn from them and adapt from them to be able to live more aligned with what's important to us and does bring us joy. And the third thing would be with communication. Well, it ties into the emotional intelligence and being able to make sure you're not brushing stuff under the carpet.
Okay.
Making sure that so you're so in tune that you don't brush stuff under the carpet so you can resolve conflict, because that is going to bring your relationships together. Or even if it's a relationship that isn't healthy, it's actually also going to bring that to your awareness a lot faster as well.
Right. Okay. So not sweeping over. So prioritizing yourself and enlivening your senses. I love that word. And then not sweeping things under the carpet. That's being aware of what's going on. I think. That's excellent. If people want to work with you, Beth, how can they find you?
I do a lot of work on Facebook. So my business page is Alignment Coaching Services. I've got my website, which is www.alignmentcoachingservices.com.au. And I am on Instagram under Alignment Coaching Services and LinkedIn as well.
Excellent. I'm sure we'll be able to find you. Plus all of those connections will be on the notes for the podcast, or if you're watching this on YouTube and get to see us in person, then you will be able to download those as well. Beth, anything you want to say before we wrap up?
I I think that's about probably about it.
Yeah.
No, excellent.
Yeah, no, it's been a great conversation. It's such an important topic to be able to recover from the stresses. And we, you know, touched on a bit how there's just so much more stress and intensity and things that are happening around the world at the moment and locally. And we've got a visitor in the background.
I do have a visitor in the background. Sorry.
We really do. It's usually my husband that pops into my office in the background as well. And so it's all good. And yeah, so I think it is such an important topic. Thank you very much for sharing, Beth. It's been great having you on the We Are Women podcast.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Amazing to be here.
You are welcome. And that's the episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember, if you are looking for more feedback or you just not sure where you're going at the moment, how getting a clear path forward, setting your goals, please get in touch with me, JeaneBosper.com, and book a free strategy session. I'd love to have a chat with you. If I am not the perfect person with you, I know so many people who are, and I'll be able to direct you to someone who can help. So have a great day, the rest of your day, wherever you're listening to this podcast from, and we'll see you back and hear you back on the next We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.